Denis, and welcome to the Africa Matters podcast. We're so excited to be able to have a platform where we as young people are engaging on topics that are critical to the development and growth of our continent. Once again, we want to highlight that if you are looking for a podcast that is going to be talking about how Africa is the land of despair and no hope, then this is not the right podcast for you. But if you are looking for a podcast that is going to be critically engaging on how we can create the Africa we want, how we can debate on how we grow Africa and where we are led by young experts in their fields, then this is the podcast for you. Remember, we are the ones we have been waiting for. So today we've got a very special guest on the show, and our topic today focuses on African youth and politics. We've all heard the hashtag not too young to run, which started in Nigeria, where African youth were saying, we also want to be involved in politics. We also want to be involved in how we change our country. And that campaign has since been widespread around the world. And we've seen different changes in politics through the involvement of African youth, but it's still not enough. So our guest today will be taking us through his own views on how do we increase youth political participation in African countries, and how can we as young people, wherever we're from, play our part in creating the Africa we want. With that being said, I'm very excited to introduce you to Mr. Lindokuhle Ntuli, who is a candidate attorney residing in South Africa, has got extensive political experience, and will tell us about it today. So welcome, Lindo, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Farai.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And we're very happy to have you here. So before we get you to introduce yourself, we're going to play a short game that we'll be playing with every speaker on the show. And it's called the African Country Alphabet Game. So I'd like you to please name for me three African countries, one starting with an A, one starting with a B, and one starting with a C. Let's go.
A, B, C. Angola, Botswana, Congo.
That was good. This is a good test of young Africans.
I love
and
it.
Their connectivity to the continent. Can you tell us about yourself, your background, and your interest in politics?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Joburg. I did my primary school in Joburg. And then I went to KZN to do my high school. And then I was at the University of the Free State for my undergrad, for my LLB. And that is where I took part in student politics. And I think that is where my political consciousness began to develop and grow. I then moved to Cape Town to do a master's in private law. And then I moved to China the following year for a master's in business and economics. And then I'm back in the country to complete my qualifications as an attorney.
Okay.
That's where I am.
That's fantastic. And would you tell us about, you know, how your interest in politics started and when you were at the University of the Free State, what that meant and what it looked like?
Yeah. Well, I think at the University of the Free State, looking at the context of the university, the historical background of the university, a lot of students faced a lot of challenges that could not go unchallenged. So I remember as a first year seeing protests about certain activities that the university had that were predominantly white, and I never understood at the time what that was about. But as you grow into the space, you then realize and experience its toxicity towards black people. You know, and understanding that the university was historically a white Afrikaans university, and that means at the time, when that university was created, there was a perception, and only the perception of white people in mind. They never had black people in their minds that in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020, we'll have black students in the university who would want the university to also represent who they are and where they come from. The same way you would have white people being proud going into a residence named after JBM, for instance. You'd want black people to be proud when they walk into a residence named Steve Biko. Mm-hmm. So those are the challenges, changing off the names of the buildings, changing the symbols of the campus to make it more inclusive. And I found myself running for the office of SRC Legal and Constitutional Affairs in 2014. And I was in that office 2014, 2015. My term ended and there was a wide call from students for me to ascend to the office of SRC president, and I guess primarily because of how I had performed in my previous office. And just a brief background, amongst other things, because I was basically responsible for the judicial administration of the student community at the time, I had to establish what we call today the student court, which is the judicial branch of student governance. And that was to come into place as a court of some sort that students can use. So if, for instance, I am being given a vote of no confidence from the SRC as an SRC member, due process is unfollowed. Previously, there was no structure that you could go to. And my aim was to create a structure that students can go to appeal unfair decisions. And that goes for residence committees, it goes for different associations. SASCO is not above the student court, but student court is the highest decision-making body in student governance. And because of all that I had done, creating, you know, platforms for students' voices to be heard, for justice to be really felt, I then ascended to president, where I was involved in a number of controversial matters, Shimla Park, Stain Must Fall, Siyar Swart Must Fall, you know, and yeah, I think that is where it all started, and that is where I experienced my life and my turn in politics as a student.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for sharing that. And I think it's fantastic to see how once you got into the university space, you realized that something needed to change.
Yeah.
And that's where you found your entry point.
Absolutely.
So it's really great that we're able to talk to young African leaders like yourself. But what we see in our continent is that we have a lot of older African leaders, and we continue to see this. For example, we've got President Museveni of Uganda, who is 75 years old, and yet his country has the youngest population. Over 78% of the inhabitants of Uganda are under 30 years of age.
Sure, sure.
Now, why do we have such older presidents on our continent? And do you believe this connects, this results in a societal disconnect?
I do believe so. I think there's a huge disconnect. And I guess it also comes from how our society is constructed politically. If you look at the history of our society, people who currently hold positions are holding those positions politically based on struggle credentials. So it is not about the ability to do the job, but which side were you during the history? You know, we see that within the ANC, we see that within different political parties, where those who are prominent are those who previously held prominent positions in the past. And young people are nowhere to be found. And where you found them is as members of parliament, which is something that has recently happened. And of course, we can't dismiss that and not recognize that as an improvement. The numbers are changing, although it's still at a very small scale. And probably someone can argue and say it's to no effect because those young people are absorbed in those specific spaces. Their voices cannot be heard. But we cannot really testify to how effective that is. I do believe that when you find yourself as a young person in a specific space, it is your duty to bend to the culture of that space. And that is not to say subjecting your views, and that is not to say suppressing your views. That is what I mean. But in every organization, there are certain cultures. In every family, there are certain cultures. And you do not go outside to criticize your family, but there are certain struggles that you fight within. You know, whether that is effective or not, I think it's an argument for another day. But that is where we find ourselves as young people. And definitely, there is a greater need to have young people absorbed into political spaces, in spaces of leadership. And I do believe that should be on merit. We do have a lot of young people with potential who want to be in positions of influence, but they've got nothing to offer. You know, I had met with this one young man who wanted to be president while I was a Schwarzman scholar. And he basically based his position on the fact that I've got something to offer. I'm educated. This is my experience. And in my country, the experience is a bit different because those who want to be in positions of power have no experience at all.
Mm-hmm.
They've got nothing to offer, but it's just the glam of wanting to be in power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the question that we should be asking ourselves as young people is, what do I have to offer? What skills mm-hmm. do I have to offer? If you also look at the history of our own politics at the time, the likes of Nelson Mandela and Oliver Tambo never wanted to be in politics.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own law firm. Mandela and Tambo attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
It was never a perception of theirs that I want to be president at some stage, but it was because of the social injustice at that time that required them to look at their skill set and assess how can we put this into good use for the advancement of society and for justice to be, you know, experienced by our citizens who are currently oppressed by the system that we currently have in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the fundamental questions that we should ask ourselves as young people. What do I have to offer? And what do my different skill set can do to advance the struggle of our society, the struggle of young people?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in those questions we can find useful mechanism to put to good use for the betterment of society.
I really like that message that, you know, to go into politics shouldn't be a career.
Yeah.
It should be a calling. It should Absolutely. Be a response to achieving justice. And, you know, we see a lot more young people in politics these days, from Namibia's Deputy Minister of Information, Communication and Technology, Emma Theophilus, who's 23 years old. We've got Botswana's Minister of Investment and Trade, Kgolo. We've got Angola's Minister, Vera, who is the Finance Minister, and we've even got South Africa's Justice Minister as well,
yes.
Minister Ronald. What does this mean to a young person like yourself with an interest in politics? And does this show signs of tangible change?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of these people like Ronald Ramula, he has two master's degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if anything, he's a good example to young people who want to be in politics. He has something to offer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Most of us do not have something to offer yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you look at the caliber and the quality of those young people, you want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're in positions of power, but they are holding those positions with something tangible to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what is most important. When we look at our political figures, you do not look at uneducated presidents.
Mm-hmm.
You do not look at empty individuals who do nothing but loot what belongs to society. But you look at people who are really invested in contributing towards the development of our society.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Ramula is a classical point. I would speak on Ronald Ramula as a caliber that we can definitely look up to as someone who has something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his politics and his position will be interesting to look at in the coming years,
mm-hmm.
because he's one distinguished individual, and not just as a young person, but as a political figure that is very well diverse and experienced and educated. It'll be interesting to look at where he lands in the long run,
mm-hmm.
and even in the short term.
Yeah, yeah, sure. So that's really fantastic, that this focus on what do you have to offer. And I think that is what will distinguish us from the sort of leaders we've seen in the past.
Yes.
We didn't have that much to offer, but had the struggle credentials,
yes.
but not necessarily the leadership that is needed to run a country. What advice would you give to young Africans who are so discouraged about politics and youth participation in their countries? You know, there are some who have just said, but what difference will I make? Because already I see people trying around me and they don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to these young Africans?
I think the benefit that I have sitting here and knowing that on Friday there was a constitutional court judgment that was made to the effect that independents can now run for office. You can contest provincial legislature. You can contest the National Assembly as a young person, as an independent. You do not need to belong to a specific political party. And I guess one of the discouraging factors has always been looking for a party that you can belong to,
mm-hmm.
a party that you share its ideology and direction. And I guess looking at what we currently have, a lot of young people that I've spoken to cannot find a political home. I do not identify with this party because of 1, 2, and 3. I do not identify with this one because of this and this and that, you know. So finding individual expression and independent expression, I think, is important. And as a result of that judgment, I have no doubt in my mind that you'll see a lot of interest from independent individuals who will inspire confidence in young people who do not want to belong to political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And that will see a rise of its own and change in dynamics on the ground and how the next couple of years will be unfolding as far as politics is concerned in mm-hmm. our society. So our politics will be interesting in the next couple of years. And it would be interesting to see how those dynamics are changing on the ground and the interest of those different independent individuals. So I think to look to that and say, I can still be active as a young person,
mm-hmm.
even though I do not belong to a political party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that activism, consciousness is defined and embedded in one belonging to a specific political space.
Mm-hmm.
And the court judgment, the constitutional court judgment on Friday, just highlights that to us,
mm-hmm.
that you can play such a critical role as a young person without belonging to a political home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have an ideology that is of your own and that you can sell to the community that you're coming from. And that is your mandate then. That becomes your mission then. You fulfill that in different ways.
Yeah,
and you do not need to do that in political spaces. There are people like yourself
mm-hmm.
who run the African Matters Initiative, who is developing young people in many ways than one. That is activism.
Yeah.
That is impacting society. You do not need to be a member of parliament.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to be a minister of justice. But to do the little things in a big way that really change our society.
Sure. And I think that's so important for young people to realize that politics isn't the only way to effect change.
Yes.
There's so many different entry points that we have. And it's about looking at what are the injustices in our society and what are we called to do?
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the recent constitutional court ruling in SA, which allows independent candidates to contest in the provincial and national elections.
Yes.
My question for you is, will we be seeing you on the ballot soon? And what is the South Africa that you envision?
I think it's fair to say the South Africa that I envision is a South Africa that I would like to raise my daughters in. I'd like to raise my children in. Currently, that is not the case. You look at the violence that is currently happening, especially against women, and you think, do I want my daughters to live in the country that I grew up?
Mm.
And it's terrible and very bad when you do not want your children to grow up where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how society has changed and because of how toxic society is towards women. The society that I envision then in that regard is a more peaceful society, a more equal society, a more just society, where you can have a woman walk wearing whatever they're wearing at any time of the day, not fear what will happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
When you can have your child go to the tech shop without you worrying if they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can apply for a position and not be worried that it will be given to a person with a different skin tone from yours.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a number of things that we are challenged with and that we are currently grappling with. White privilege, male privilege, violence, domestic violence. And if we can have less of that, if we can eliminate that in every way, I think that would be the society that I would love to live in. That would be the society that I'd love to see my children grow up in. It's difficult to say at this point because of all the things that are happening. And I must say, South Africa is such a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled to a few countries around the world and they all brought me to one realization. And that is we have such a beautiful country with so much potential. And I think if each of us can play a role in really changing the status quo, in calling out our friends, in calling out the people in our spaces, perhaps there is a chance, perhaps there's an opportunity. But whether or not I'm interested in politics, that's not a question I can answer. I am currently not, but interests do change, because if I closed myself to that possibility, I'd be dishonest and it would mean that I'm not growing.
Mm-hmm.
But currently my interest is in corporate. I just want to grow in business and in law, and we'll see where that takes us. There is no urgent interest in politics at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I qualify that. I put it no higher than that at this stage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, perhaps just based on what you said earlier, the calling will arise. The South Africa that you want, that you have been able to paint to us, will call you to come and even run for politics, be on the ballot and make that change that you want to see, and continue to make changes in different spaces.
I see you're more optimistic than I am.
Pushing agendas here. Well, thank you very much, Lindor, for joining us on this episode of the Africa Matters podcast. The key take homes that we have found is that, first of all, young Africans are not too young to run, and that we can play our role in different parts of society, not just in politics. There's every avenue where we can create and shape the Africa we want. But also, most importantly, it's that we shouldn't see politics as a career.
Yes.
We should see it as a calling to do something good for the people we care about and represent. And I think that just embodies what Africa Matters stands for, where we say we are the ones we have been waiting for. A big thank you to you, Mr. Lindor Gudlenduli. And for all of our listeners, please tune in to our next episode of the Africa Matters podcast. Remember, we are the ones we have been waiting for.